recording. Now the red light is on. Srila Sanatana Goswami comments. Not only does the person suffer a low birth, but in both this life and the next he suffers, even though he wants to avoid this by his strength or trickery. In order to show fear to others, the Lord himself shows fear with extreme disgust. Let this thief not be done for me or related to me, since it is done with violence or devious desires, with the desire that I accept it. In this life he has a short life, is defeated by enemies, loses his kingdom, and in next life becomes a snake, which gives trouble to others in the form of fear. Or they may become like snakes and again attain hellish life. Though one can accept offerings made by Brahmins out of devotion on behalf of the Lord, he should not accept such offerings since they are often taken by force. Or to teach the people, he does not consider his own position as the Lord. So Krishna here is then trying to establish the importance of being involved or not being involved in the property of Brahmins. Right, so people may, by their own position, like you said, by their strength or trickery, try to say that no, this is all right. No, this is my duty, or this is devotion, or different things like that. They'll try, but Krishna himself, he is distancing himself from this because he respects the Brahmins. He doesn't want all these things to go on. Right, so when it says Brahmins, it means Brahmins. So that means even a Brahmin can't take advantage of Brahmins. It's not because I'm a Brahmin, then I can do. No, it's just you. Brahmins are independent. You can't do this. That's the whole point. Because if they don't have that position, then what makes a Brahmin is their understanding of the scripture and practice of that. So if that's not taken as the most important element, how will the whole culture elevate themselves? Right? Because just by management, just by other things, it's not going to happen. Because you see, is these great personalities who are very good at management, these great kings in that, then at an appropriate time in life, they leave all that behind and go to the forest. So if that was the real thing, why would they leave? Why would it be recommended? Right? So that's why then the Brahminical culture must be strong and respected. Then everything fits in with that, and then it all becomes nicely balanced. There has to be some common point. So the Brahminical culture is the common point with the Brahmins as the head of that. Then everything else fits nicely. Yes?
So this particular story is, although from the culture of respect, people make mistakes.
Yes.
That he didn't want to offend any Brahmana, but it happened on its own.
Yes. Yes.
Then we come in from the culture of arrogance. And then we commit offenses, you know, left and right, and we don't even feel it. And
you're forgetting the middle.
and then, you know, what is our chance to survive in Krishna consciousness, especially we're dealing not with, because here we discuss basically karma and sinful, but here we discuss, you know, in society of devotees, we discuss anarthas, which is directly connected with the soul and Krishna. Mm-hmm. So, it's nearly impossible.
No, but the point is a few things. One is it's the soul's nature to be involved in devotional service. That's the most natural thing. So we're looking at this as impossible because we're identifying with the conditioned nature. So from the point of the conditioned nature, it seems impossible. Since it's a small aspect that is just a wash in the ocean of, you know, the modes of nature. But the soul is beyond, so it's actually natural for the soul to not be involved in any of these difficulties and to be absorbed. So the difficulty comes because of our identification with the condition. As we give that up, then we find the devotional process becomes easier and easier. Is that any sense? So that's the whole point. That's why the faith is there. That's why the association is there, these things, so that we start to see is what is the important point. What is important? And so then we focus on that. These kind of stories are so, like you said, mistakes are there. He didn't mean to. But the mistake would only be this much because he was, generally speaking, careful. like that. But if these stories isn't there, people aren't careful at all, then how much worse it'll be. Like that. So at least then you're trying. So if one is sincerely trying to please Krishna, then these then things go a little bit more smoothly. But we see that for those who aren't, because these stories will be for everybody. They're specifically for the devotees. But if someone's interested in karma, then the more perfect the karma, then the proper they get the result. But if it's not perfect, it's not complete, they won't get anything. That's the whole point. Bhakti, you get something, even if it's not finished. But karma, until it's done, it's not done. Right? You know, what is it? It's not over till it's over. You know? That's just the way it is. It's, you don't get anything. So that's why then they are the ones that have to look at it to that degree. But for us, it's simply that it pleases Krishna, so we're trying our best to please Krishna, so that's why we're doing. But if we don't know that it's an option, then by our conditioning, then our strength and our trickery, we'll try to get around this. But if we understand as, no, this is the way Krishna likes it, he distances himself from such individuals, even though they're trying to do it with a desire that I accept it. So that means they're doing it and expecting Krishna to accept it, but because it's using methods that aren't appropriate, Krishna distances himself from it. So that's why one may do, and it may be so fabulous and materially very perfect, but because it's made a mistake in the devotional or, you know, offenses or other things like that, then that's why there's no satisfaction and no one appreciates. So for someone very attached to the material facilities and the operation of that, they may get a little frustrated in Krishna consciousness, because they find that that's not actually the thing that's important. And so if they want it to be important, they have to go out with the karmis, with the professionals. Then they'll say it's important. Because for the devotees, it's not. So along with those not being important, it also means these other aspects, then, you know, these dangerous things are easier to cross, because it is a vast ocean, and you're trying to get across that, like you're pointing out. It's like unlimited difficulties. How do you get across? But when one takes shelter of the instruction of the spiritual master, then that ocean gets reduced down to the size of a calf's hoofprint, so you can step over it. So we're going to step over it by that devotional commitment, not by our fabulous material qualification. Like that. Because it means, as far as piety goes, who's going to be more qualified than Nriga? And it still doesn't work, right? Karna, how charitable was he? It didn't work out fabulous for him, right? You know, so much benefit is there, but at the same time is so much difficulty, because that's the material world. It's just the way it is. Is that... You know, so we have this idea that you do something once and it's done forever. You know, like the farmer, he plowed the field once. Now he never, for the next, you know, every year for that until the end of his life, he never has to plow again because he already did it. Yeah, every year you have to plow. Every year you have to. So every occupation has so many difficulties. And so the point is that therefore we choose an occupation that's according to the nature we have, so those difficulties are ones that we can work with. It's not that they're not difficult, but they're ones we can deal with. Is that? Yeah, like that. So, by devotional service, then all this becomes reduced down and you don't even notice it. But that means humble, tolerant, respecting others, not looking respect for oneself. You follow that, you can always be chanting. That's going on, everything else follows. So the focus then is on this devotional aspect. God. So, you okay?
When we stop devotional service, there is problem.
That's when there's problem. Because it's not that the material world isn't going to have its problems, but the problems aren't problems, technically. They're, you know, it's not that the things don't come up, but they're not obstacles to devotional service. They may be obstacles to a particular mechanical manifestation of what you're trying to do. But there never will be an obstacle to devotional service. That's the point, is that how can darkness be an obstacle to light? You know, that's the whole point. So if one's situated devotionally, that's why our emphasis is there. We don't emphasize these things. We just, this morning I was just bringing it out because so many doubts come up. Is this important? No, then to establish it. But otherwise, if that's not there, you don't have to emphasize it much. Because it's already, one is being careful. So, but if one is using one's strength or one's cleverness or trickery, then it's made very strong. So, yeah. Lord Krishna continued, "My dear followers, never treat a learned Brahmin harshly, even if he has sinned, even if he attacks you physically or repeatedly curses you. Always continue to offer him obeisances." So, the more that they're established in the Brahminical, the less that you get distracted by this. Because it's not that things don't go wrong. But the point is it's still, how much it takes to put them on in the correct position is very minimal. Like that. That's the whole thing, is that to go along and do, and things may get very strong, but just in a moment, it goes back to normal. So that's uniqueness. But let's say a general person can't do that. They get off track, then they can't really get back on track. But that's the whole point of the Brahmins. They're off, so it's off. But the point is they can so easily go back on. Because that's the meaning. A learned Brahmin means he knows that, he practices it, he lives that. And so, yes.
So it means like other varnas, they don't have really, like, how to say, ability to do it? Like.
The passion and ignorance is too strong. So with association and time, yes. But with a Brahmin, it's just in a moment. It's like Lord Brahma is running after his daughter. But following this rule, then the Kumaras, they approach and very nicely say things. And then having said it, he just goes, yes. And just, that's it. It's done. Now one may say, oh, he did that. He's not a Brahmin. That's our go-to, aphorism to not have any respect for anybody or for what anybody's ever done. So someone's, let's say, his head pujari, he's doing like that, he's going along, he's been doing for years, he does fabulous and everything, and then one day some bhaktin is washing plates in the kitchen and things go a little strange. And then, you know, he's not a Brahmin, throw him out, this is that, this is like this. But Krishna says no. Right? Now, if someone who's always having all these problems, this, that, then you're careful about that. But someone who's doing very nice and then something goes wrong, then you know it's just something went wrong. It can be corrected. Because they know what's the proper practice. They know what. In other words, what they're doing when things are proper, the others can't do. Then when they do something wrong, it's not their business to criticize. Means they're careful, they're respectful. It's like that. Others who can take care will take care. And then when it goes back to normal, then they accept that it's, you know, everybody has a bad day. Does that make sense? Otherwise, if we went by the modern politically correct, a lot of people in the Bhagavatam we would not accept as authority in any way, shape, or form. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem, is that there is no respect for authority. You either have respect for authority or you don't. The principle of authority, you have that respect, you can understand that and deal. Or you doubt authority, you don't trust authority. Does that make sense? So one has to be very, very careful about this. Otherwise, it's so easy. I've heard it so many times that someone who's doing something, they do something wrong. Oh, he's not a Brahmin. Oh, he's not a guru. Oh, he's not a sannyasi. Oh, he's not a devotee. Like that. It's constant.
How can he be?
Yeah, how can he be? Even though that person has done more service in, you know, than this other devotee who's criticizing in his whole life. Or, and given the rest of his life, he still won't catch it. And the group that he talks in and that they're all agreeing with him, put all that together, it still doesn't equal. But it's because we're looking at it, that devotional service means not sinning. Not devotional service means bhakti and pleasing Krishna. So I'm pleasing Krishna because I'm not sinning. But this is a view. This is saying karma is actually bhakti. It's not actually a vision of pure devotional service, because in this there's no forgiveness. So if there's no forgiveness, then what good qualities you have in the first place? So then, who are you to talk? You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole difficulty, is that one has to see is what's being done, what's being, all these things, the sacrifices made, all these things are very great. Now, the position where they went off, how they went off, then that's something to learn from. Yes. But the individual themselves, then you have to deal in a very, very differently than what would be the modern approach. Right? Does that make sense?
Yes.
So, and the funny part is we would deal very harshly with positions of authority, and someone who's not authority, then they can do anything and we'll let it go. But actually in the Vedic, it uses it the other way around. Because the point is that the common person, without having a proper standing in culture, the things that they would do, everybody else will do. Mm-hmm. So, now, the reason it's a problem that they do is not they're off, it doesn't mean that it's okay that they're off. No, that has to be corrected. But it doesn't mean that you don't deal properly. Is that, you know, that's the whole point. So to do that, you have to have character yourself. So if we don't, we just yell and scream, then that's an indication of our background. Because that's what Manu and other scriptures say, is you can always tell the difference between someone from Varnashram and someone not. Is that someone from not, they can't behave nicely. They're always harsh. They're always rough. They're always like that. Well, from Varnashram, then they'll have culture, and now and again they do something weird. But the others, they're always doing something weird, but they just have a pleasant way of being weird, so then everyone thinks it's okay. And then if you poke them, then immediately you're dealing with something very nasty.
Regarding the trust in the authority, is it beneficial to trust in unqualified persons who are in the position of authority?
No, we trust the position, but the individuals, then you have to see how they work in it. So people are given the Vedic system, it's you have the principle that's there, but then you also have the application. Right? So you're always going to have that aspect of how you then connect that together. Is that depending upon the qualification, then you have a difference. Like that. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It might be smoky though. You can, you know, put it out on the step or something out there for a while, and then when you can actually see each other, then bring it back in. Yes.
I see that usually whoever is in position of authority, most of people think he is unqualified. That seems to be
That's there, but that doesn't.
I mean, it's not that he's unqualified. It's just usually people see him.
Yeah, I mean, so you have so many reasons why that may be, but the point is if the person's able to do the service, you know, properly and interact nicely, you know, properly with people, then they're qualified for that. If they can do everything very technically right, consistently, then that means that would be their nature. Though if it's not necessarily pleasing to people, then there's some weakness in the character, like that, which will be corrected by devotion. So as long as that can be, you know, kind of like controlled, then better they continue. You know, it's just like, even you're talking about Venu, he can manage, so better he's there. Or Duryodhana, better he's there than nobody's there. Because much of the time they go, he's bad, better no one's there. But the people who say that are people who know nothing about management. Like that. So no, it's better someone's managing, that's better than nothing at all. Best is someone who can manage and has the character. Right? So they left him there as long as he was managing and creating a favorable environment. But as soon as he started to disrupt the environment, then naturally he's removed. So there's always a balance in this on how much they're qualified, how much is the difficulty. How much, you know, does that make sense? So like that, then you. Yes.
He was telling or giving respect to authority, how it relates to that we have to give respect to everyone.
Because you're supposed to give respect to everybody, because we won't do that, at least there's a few positions that you should. You start with something, yeah. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So you start with the main things. And then that will make the structure work, and then with time you can respect that. So, yes?
It seems that only Brahmana can forgive. It's difficult for...
Yes, Brahmanas, that's their nature, they can forgive. But, as it said here, it sometimes doesn't work out that way. Who knows why? Because the point is there may be something else that Nriga did that therefore the situation is supposed to come up. But we don't need to get into all that. Some Purana will mention it. But the reason it's not brought up at this point is we'll go, oh, well, he deserved it, so we don't actually have to worry about this story. Mm-hmm. So as soon as we hear those things, then we just dismiss the whole thing. Mm-hmm. But the point is, no, we're supposed to have this. That's why Krishna put it here, that fear has to be there mm-hmm. of this. Because if you fear doing this, then you won't give fear to others. Otherwise, you don't, then you offend the Brahmins, then you'll end up in a form of life that would give fear to others. Because if you can take from a Brahmin, then what can't you do? Does that make sense? So you even see, nowadays it gets more degraded, but if you go back in time, even, you know, very well-established criminals, they would always be very nice to kids, women, and priests. Right? Now people with authority who didn't act nice, people who had money, who were proud, you know, these kind of things, those are the ones that they went after. But if someone was properly behaved, this and that, then they didn't bother them. Like that. It was a normal... I remember... one devotee was telling me, he was in New York, well, this was back probably in the 80s, I would think. And he had a push cart, you know, to sell on the street, to you know, as a business. And I think he was doing dried fruits or something like that. And it was something that's, you know, a popular thing at the fruit season. So he found a place that was really nice and everything, and he was working that particular, you know, block or whatever it was. And then, you know, when he would take a break, there was some kind of big warehouse or something that he'd just go inside, sit down, take his cart, sit down, eat lunch, and, you know, just relax a little bit. So while he was there, then, what do you call it? One day, then a couple of guys in the suits and the fedoras and all that showed up. Speaking very nicely, they came to him and explained that this area here is our area. We have carts already here. So you can't do... So he explained to him that, you know, we're devotees and what we're doing and this and that. And so they were nice. So they just said, you know, you please just find another area. You know? So they're respectful. They dealt very nicely, very gently, like that. While if you had attitude, they would have destroyed your cart, beat you up, you know, and like that. You know, there's no... They don't have any problems doing all that. But the point was, is they were very, very nice because they understood, you know, first, you know, he doesn't know, they tell, but then when they find out he's a devotee and all that, then they appreciate it. They were just saying that there's so many other areas, but for us, this is where we work, so you please find a new area. Because it wasn't like that was right next to the temple or something, it was just, the devotee went a long distance to go there, so he could go, you know, another block over or something, that's all. So they told him, you know.
You follow the regulation of manu, how to deal with person nicely.
Yeah, so that's the whole point, is that they're dealing, even though it's something, it's they already had their business, then he showed up. It wasn't that he was there running business, they saw it and say, hey, we're moving in on him. No, we're already established here. Therefore, go establish yourself somewhere else. And if he worked on another block that they weren't on, then they would leave that block alone. That's his block. But he shouldn't bother our block, because we already have a system going. Like that. You know, because that's these guys. Probably if you went a little higher up, they'd tell them, no, give that to them. But, you know, in any case, it's... So I talked to different devotees who had actually dealt with you know, this level of persons and all that, and they say they deal very, very nicely. Very cultured, they speak very nicely and all that, because they don't need to be rushed. Because if you're going to get out of hand, then, you know, they just... They know how to deal with it. So they don't. They deal very nicely. And so they always have the thing. They go to the priest, they'll talk to the priest, they'll explain things, and they expect the priest not to go to the police. You know, they're supposed to help them save themselves. So, like that. You know, and if the police does go to the police, that means he's not acting properly, then there'll be some trouble. So the point is that... It's there's an expectation that there's these things are there. So we see as in the tradition, it's always been a point, you know. Or even like what was it? We told the story of our curly-haired Greek, our Macedonian Alexander, and Diogenes and his barrel, you know. So. Alexander's men weren't very respectful to Diogenes, but Alexander was saying, if I wasn't Alexander, I would want to be him. Right? You know, so he was respectful. So you see, it's a standard thing, is that they're always respectful. And if they're not, that's a weakness. So Krishna's pointing this out, that you explain this to Kshatriyas who are powerful and are clever. And if they're not to do it, then everybody else who's always less powerful and less clever. Right? So yes, the Brahmins, that's their trait. They should be able to forgive. Kshatriyas, because the passion is harder for them. Now as a devotee, they can. That's why Karna didn't consider Yudhishthira Maharaj a Kshatriya. He considered him a Brahmin. So he would deal with them as a Brahmin. So he wouldn't fight with him, he wouldn't deal with him. Because he just said, he can forgive. He's a Brahmin, he's not a Kshatriya. You know? Bhima, now that's a Kshatriya. You know? So, you see that. I think, Nachiketas? He also, then when he had a problem with a king, Then they cursed each other. The king cursed him first, he cursed him back. So then the king asked him to, you know, he apologize and asked him to remove the curse. So he said, I can't do it, but I'll adjust it. He says, you know, so you remove yours. He says, I can't. I'm still upset. You know, I'm a Kshatriya, what to do? So that's why it says never offend a Kshatriya, even if they're small. He's a kid, don't offend him, because when he grows up, you'll still remember. You know, that's, you know, like that. So they have good memories. Brahmins generally are vata, so they forget quickly these things. Like that. While Kshatriya, you see, generally, especially the higher grades, they're balanced, so they have that aspect of kapha, so they have the elephant memory to remember all those things. So they can remember all the names of everybody and what their positions, they can also remember what you did. So, yeah. So that's why it's there, because all these things, they go together, it's natural. So that's why the laws are there to follow in that way. So, not that something doesn't go wrong, is that, you know, fire is always covered by smoke, as you just had example. And so, therefore, there's always some fault, even if you do everything perfect. That's the point. He's doing everything perfect, still there's a fault. So from this, another aspect you'd learn is that the process of karma is never going to give that result that Jaimini says. You only do good karma, you'll only get good results. But you can't only do good karma. Something wrong will happen. Maybe you might get 90%, 90%, 98%, but still that 2% is going to be a problem. Right. So that's the way it goes. So that's why we don't have faith in this karma yon, only in bhakti. We use them as servants of bhakti, but we don't on their own that they have importance. Otherwise, they get out of proportion, they give trouble. So then here, then we have to deal with the Brahmins properly. You know, never harshly try to deal nicely. In other words, if we don't, that's just our weakness. It's not that it's okay because they did something wrong, now I have the right to. No, we never have the right to. Right? Unless that person is that Brahmin's authority. Like that Brahmin's father or guru or teacher. They might be able to be strong. But it's not our business. Visitors from Texas. is that okay? So there's so many angles could be taken from this, but in this story, it's about Nriga. There'll be other stories about the Brahmins and how they deal and what happens and everything, but that's not this story. So learn from this story what's being taught in this story. That's the point. Is that? Yeah.
Well, I understood that they were not really like upset. They just pointed something out.
Yeah, but the point is he did take from a Brahmin.
So they didn't get
upset. So in this pastime, it doesn't appear they cursed him.
Yeah, yeah.
But in another pastime, they did.
Okay.
But in this one, it's just kind of like they just weren't interested. Because that's why it said they weren't interested. They were the kind of Brahmins who weren't interested in material things anyway. So they're accepting charity is already just out of duty. So they don't want to get involved more. So his offer of 100,000 cows really is not interesting to them. So they just left. So it's not that they cursed, but because he had taken the property of a Brahmin, therefore there's a problem. Because it went back into the herd, and then he gave it. So this Brahmin didn't take from the other Brahmin. So neither Brahmin are at fault, only the king's at fault.
There's a certain class of ex-ISKCON devotees who say that we couldn't do this ISKCON stuff of yours, four regular principles, all of these things. Now we love Ka, we do Go Seva, we do Indian nationalism. After all, didn't Prabhupada say that for the common people there is Varnashram and everybody can't be a devotee. So just let us be and don't hammer us on this with this bhakti stuff. Let us do the Ka Seva and Indian nationalism and all these other societies.
Yeah, you just leave it alone. But their interpretation of the other thing, no. Varna means, in other words, devotees use Varnashram. The karmis have to use Varnashram. For the devotees, it's a tool. For the karmis, they don't follow it. They go to hell. You know, it's just like you're a married person. You have these five debts. It's just that's the way it is. You don't pay them, you go to hell. It's just the way it is. Brahmacharis, vanaprasas, sannyasis don't have to worry about that. Right, because they're not getting the prestige from that and all, but they are. So therefore, they have to pay that. So just because they're not Vedic doesn't mean it's not the rule. Right? It's not that. Okay, in India you talk about gravity, okay, because the Vedic culture. But outside India, they're not following the Vedic culture, so gravity doesn't apply. They don't have to breathe. They don't have to eat. They don't, you know, lay down and sleep. They don't have to drink water. They don't need to go to the toilet. None of these, because they're not Vedic. So in other words, yes, Varnashram is for anybody who's not following. But the point is following that with bhakti. And so if they don't want to hear about bhakti, then don't. Why bother them? Do pious activities, and then maybe in next life, then they'll be a little off guard, and so then somebody they'll do a little more agyata sukriti and move forward. So why bother them? But it's the same things we would be doing. It's just they're doing it without the devotion, right? By what they're saying. Of course, there's going to be some remembrance of Krishna. This, that. They just don't want to get into all the rules and all this. It's just too much. But it's not that they can actually forget. Srila Jiva Goswami explains, one may ask, if the Brahmin steals my money or becomes hostile, what should be done? Krishna replies, do not desire to kill him or harm him at all at any time. Eva. That is rejected. Oh, people. So in other words, that aspect has to be rejected. That's not an option. Right? You know, like that. That is rejected. Oh, people who follow me, you should not harm him. Otherwise, you are not my followers. You will not be protected by me. So if you don't protect the Brahmins, Krishna won't protect you. Like that, you know. So in other words, you deal badly, then Krishna will, you know, leave you on your own.
Ashwatthama,
yes. But the point is still Ashwatthama will be the next Vyasadeva, the next or the one after.
He'll be the next.
But it doesn't mean that for 3,000 years he doesn't wander around and everywhere he goes it smells like a toilet. Like that. And that really, Brahmins really don't like that. You know. So, but that was from then, so now is 5,000 years later, so 2,000 years ago that term was over, so.
Whatever is said here about Brahmanas, we can apply verbatim to Vaishnavas.
Yes, and to the degree that they are developed in the Vaishnav, you know, in advancement devotional service, to that degree the effect is stronger or lighter. There'll always be an effect, but it's just a matter how much. So here it's so severe with Niriga because the Brahmins that he offended were so qualified. Does that make sense? But the point is in principle, it will always have effect. Maybe it's smaller, but it will have effect. You know, and when you're dealing with devotees, it may have effect. Here with Nriga, it didn't bother his devotional position. But if it's devotees you're offending, then it may affect one's devotional position. So that's right. Yeah. So the material positions, that's the lesser of the two. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So in other words, you have to find some other way. Some discussion, go to some other authority like this. But harming, killing, all these kind of things, that's not on the table. That's for, how you say, younger brothers who harass you and stuff like that. Then you come up with those. That's what you think about in your mind. It means you're not supposed to do it. But with the Brahmins, you don't even think about it. Does that make sense? Lord Krishna concluded, just as I always carefully bow down to Brahmanas, so all of you should likewise bow down to them. I will punish anyone who acts otherwise. So we see Krishna is very strong on these things. He's saying so personally, very strictly here. Same also on Govardhan Hill. You don't worship Govardhan Hill, distribute prasad, then there's going to be problems. So that he directly mentions. Other places, Sukadeva Goswami mentions, someone in the story mentions, like this. But here, Krishna directly is mentioned. When a Brahmin's property is stolen, even unknowingly, it certainly causes the person who takes it to fall down, just as the Brahmin's cow did to Nriga. Right? You fall down from your position. So even if it's unknowing, that's why you have to be very careful. You know, the bull in China shop is not an excuse like that. Having thus instructed the residents of Dwarka, Lord Mukunda, purifier of all the worlds, entered his palace. So if that goes for the Yadavas, who are the associates of the Lord, that means every other king has to follow it. That means everybody else has to follow it. So that's why he instructed them in that. He arranged this. So it would happen like this. Srila Sanatana Goswami concludes, having made the people here by example and proof, Vishravya, in this way, since he was endowed with unlimited good qualities, such as respecting Brahmanas, he gave the highest bliss, or freed everyone from all suffering, by showing the fault of taking a Brahman's property, Mukundaha. One may ask, the people of Dwarka, being followers of the Lord, were naturally respectful to Brahmanas. Why did he make them hear this? By instructing all people on the pretext of instructing them, he purified them, Pavanaha, just as he instructed Arjuna, his dear friend, the avatar of Narad, to benefit the people. So that's the whole idea, because otherwise the question was earlier, why would they have to hear and all that? It's because you tell them, you know, because you can tell them, they'll listen, but you're telling them for everybody else's benefit. Right? Like Arjuna is Nara of Narnarayan Rishi, not Narnarayan Rishis. Rishi. Yeah, because they're one. Two, but one. Two people, one Rishi. No, one plus one is one, one minus one is one. So they're each a complete rishi, but at the same time, they're one rishi. Yes. So that's the whole point. You know. Conclusion. Fruit of activities, even if very pious, cannot give us eternal blissful life. So that's the point to learn from the story. Is even you do something that technically he could have enjoyed in the heavenly planets for a very long time, still you can't get any happiness out of all this. He had all that piety, still he couldn't enjoy. That, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita,
and we still believe it?
Do we still believe it?
No, and we still do believe it.
That we can enjoy. Yes, so that's why we keep hearing these stories, so that we, it's slowly, it's like the water wearing away at the stone. So, you know, drop by drop, it's slowly, slowly. But that's why it says Nityam Bhagavata Seva. It's regular, Nitya, is always going on. You know, it doesn't say, wait, said Naimitik Bhagavata Seva. Yeah, it says Nitya, right? So that's always going on. Because then, slowly, slowly, it always reminds us, and then we start to see. Because things will happen, but we may not see them in context of Krishna consciousness. But by always regularly hearing from different angles, then as the different situations come up in our life, we start to see them in connection with Krishna. And we start to become convinced, slowly, slowly. So that's why it says it's a gradual process, but it's progressive. Like that. But the more you develop in it, the quicker it starts to go.
So, Maharaj, this particular story of being regarded at this particular point in Bhagavatam, chapter 64, it seems like, you know, it is speaking about more of morality than of devotion.
It's speaking about more of morality than devotion at this point, at 64. Why 64?
Should have been somewhere in the other cantos, rather than
some other cantos and all that. But what is Krishna saying here? Why is Krishna? What's the whole point here? Who's giving the instruction?
Krishna.
Yeah. And to who?
The devotees.
Who are?
Who is associated?
Yes. And so, other cantos, you don't necessarily see that they're associates. So these aren't sadhakas. Right? And so then from this is then we see now when we perform activities, right? What's the purpose of these activities? What do you want to gain by these activities?
Pleasing Krishna.
Pleasing Krishna. Okay. So now Krishna is very much pointing out that he's pleased if you do this and not pleased if you don't.
Okay, got it.
Okay. So that's why it's here. Because, in other words, this is as Bhagavan, he's saying it. In other places, like he shows up for Indra's yajna, that he's showing up as Paramatma. Mm-hmm. Is that? Yes.
Can we conclude that Mriga was not a devotee because...
No, it's not that. He's a devotee, but it's just that he was more karma than devotee.
Therefore, he incurred the results.
You offend Brahmins, Krishna says you're going to get results anyway, because he'll arrange it. Like that. Does that make sense? So in other words, it's Krishna's arrangement that this happened to him. The aspect of him going and seeing Yamaraj, then that's connected with a previous thing where he was cursed by Brahmins, therefore, then that's it. But that's not technically this pastime, but they're all, it's one pastime. That has different facets depending upon the kalpa that it's in. Does that make sense? Yeah. So this one here, then you're bringing out how Krishna's instructing in this way. So the point that you're trying to give is that Nriga, no matter how pious he is, still he can't eternally be happy. He can only be happy by devotional service. That's the point of the story. Does that make sense? And in that, then the story that's being used to express this then has the point of don't offend Brahmins. Krishna doesn't like that. If you want to please Krishna, deal nicely with the Brahmins. Well, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the result of work, either pious or impious, is sure to bind a man unless the work is discharged as yajna on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Every endeavor is covered by some fault, just as fire is covered by smoke. To give charity means to perform pious activities by which one may be elevated to the higher planetary systems, right? As karma. We're giving in charity because we're, you know, that's just natural relationships and interacting with devotees. Right? We're not doing it as a piety. But promotion of the heavenly planets is no guarantee that one will never fall down. Therefore, it's recommended by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita that one who is charitably disposed and desires to derive the benefit of his charity should offer his gifts to please Krishna. So in other words, you're giving to people that Krishna, you know, is saying that should be given to, with the proper attitude, proper time, proper situation, everything like that. Hence, as stated in the Brahma Samhita, a devotee, by the grace of the Lord, is not subjected to the reactions of fruitive activities. Right? So in other words, it's displeasing Krishna that will be the problem. So all this, we're just trying to show that to the degree in which the displeasure can be manifest. For the karmis, this will be carried out by the laws of nature. But if it's for a devotee, it's Krishna instructing, you know, the material energy will give a reaction suitable to Krishna's pleasure or displeasure. That makes sense? So it looks the same, but it's actually one's direct and one's indirect. Chapter 65. Lord Balaram visits Vrindavan. Pratigya. The inhabitants of Vrindavan sacrificed everything for Krishna. Chapter 65. Summarizes questions and answers. The rhetorical questions uttered in verses 7, 9, 10, 12, and 13 do not come under this study. Adhyaya Prakashika. This chapter relates how Lord Balaram went to Gokul, enjoyed the company of the cowherd girls, and dragged the Jamuna River. Right, so all this is going on. One day, Lord Balaram went to Gokul to see his relatives and friends. When he arrived there, the elder gopis and Lord Krishna's parents, Nanda and Yashoda, who had all been in great anxiety for a long time, embraced him and blessed him. Lord Balaram offered appropriate respects and greetings to each of his worshipable elders according to age, friendship, and family relation. So even though you're supposed to respect elders, it's still according to age, friendship, family relation, or whatever other elements are there. But for them, because they're all cowherds and all this, so basically this will be enough. You don't have to worry, you know, about the kshatriyas there or this or that. Does that make sense? But if there are others there, then it'll be according to the etiquette that's there. Does that make sense? So that's what we're meaning before about the Brahmins. It'll be according to their position that they're in. Mm-hmm. But the point is they're still Brahmins. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that. So here, he's dealing with his elders, but according to what is there. They may be a relation or not, what, how close they are, intimacy or not, what's their age or not, you know, like they are. After Gokula's residence and Lord Balaram had inquired about each other's welfare, the Lord rested from his journey. So when he came, then just immediately they greeted and this and that, and so that's there. Then he rested, and then they'll actually get into, you know, nice interactions and everything like that. In a short while, the young gopis came to Lord Balaram and requested him about Krishna's well-being. They asked, "Does Krishna still remember his parents and friends, and will he be coming to Gokul to visit them? For Krishna's sake, we gave up everything, even our fathers, mothers, and other relatives. But now he has abandoned us. How could we help? How could we help but put our faith in Krishna's words after seeing his sweetly smiling face and thus being overwhelmed by the urges of Cupid? Still, if Krishna can spend his days in separation from us, why can't we tolerate separation from him? So there is no reason to keep talking about him." In this manner, the gopis remembered Sri Krishna's charming talks, enchanting glances, playful gestures, and loving embraces. And as a result, they began to cry. Lord Balaram consoled them by conveying the attractive messages Krishna had given him to them. Lord Balaram, so attractive means that they're nicely presented and all that, and you know, so it's nice, it's pleasant. Lord Balaram stayed in Gokul for 2 months, sporting with the gopis in the groves on the Jamuna shore. The demigods who witnessed these pastimes played kettle drums in the heavens and showered down flower petals, while the celestial sages recited Balaram's glories. One day, Lord Balaram became intoxicated by drinking some Varuni liquor and began wandering about the forest in the company of the gopis. He called out to the Jamuna, "Come near so I and the gopis can enjoy sporting in your waters." But the Jamuna ignored his command. Lord Balaram then started to pull the Jamuna with the end of his plow, splitting her into hundreds of tributaries. Trembling out of fright, the goddess Jamuna appeared, fell down at Lord Balaram's feet, and prayed for forgiveness. The Lord let her go and then entered her waters with his girlfriends to sport for some time. When they rose from the water, the goddess Kanti presented Lord Balaram with beautiful ornaments, clothing, and garlands. Even today, the Jamuna River flows through the many channels cut by Lord Baladev's plow, the signs of his having subdued her. While Balaram played, his mind became enchanted by the gopis' pastimes. Thus, the many nights he spent in their company seemed to him like a single night. Right, so the same aspect in that, you know, Bhava is so much time, or so many nights seem like one, or one night seems like unlimited. So it goes either way, depending upon which aspect is being tasted. Right, so in other words, if one is together, then it's unlimited time is like nothing. And if one is separated, then nothing is like unlimited time. Like that. So, Shloka Anusharanam, summary of verses. 1-6, Lord Balaram visits Gokula. 7-16, the Vrajavasis inquire about Krishna. 17-24, Lord Balaram enjoys Rasa Lila. 25-33, angry Balaram drags the Jamuna. Verses 1-6, Lord Balaram visits Gokula. Srila Sukadev Goswami said, "O best of the Kurus, once Lord Balaram, eager to visit his well-wishing friends, mounted his chariot and traveled to Nanda Gokula." Srila Vishwanath Chakrabarti Thakur comments. One may ask, why did Krishna, the great ocean of praying, not go to Braja? The Yadus thought, the gopis are famous for their outstanding love. His parents have intense love for him. Controlled by the love, how will Krishna give them up and return to us? He is dependent upon his pastimes, which increase prema in Braja. Right? He's dependent upon them, but we see in Dwarka they worry he's not. Because they can switch back and forth between that aspect of prema in sweetness to prema in opulence. And when they go into opulence, they go into the mood of servitorship. And so then that won't hold him as much as the love that the Brajvasis have.
So then he's not dependent in Dwarka?
Not dependent.
Upon their pastimes?
Not as much. Okay. Because when he was in Vrindavan, do we ever hear of a time when he's thinking about Dwarka or Mathura? You know, understand? Or any of these others. It's just about Braj. So the only ones that brings up other pastimes are the devotees. But when he's Dwarka, what is he always thinking of? Vrindavan. So they know that. So they want to be careful.
When we speak about the queens and their sense of possession, because it is there.
But it's only partial.
It's like 50% or whatever. Yeah, that's why they take these situations that seemingly he thinks about the gopis in Vrindavan.
Yes, because the point is he is God. He's a person, but they're Lakshmis, and they're the wives of God. So then in that position, then they have to, because there's so many of them. So if 16,108, add on a few more, what does it matter?
So that's the mixture of Aishwarya that allows them to do that.
Yes, but it's also there'll be more because they're married and all that. There'll be more of the flavor of the right wing. You know what I'm saying? Like the Parakhi will have more of a flavor of left, but it will have those who are right and left. So just like the Swakhi will have the prominence of you know, Maryada, of doing the duties, but it's not that there may not be that sense of possession, but you generally only see that really in Satyabhama. I also, there's one other who does that, but much more lightly. I'm not sure if it's Lakshmana or who it is. Huh? I think that they're left. The others seem to be right. So there's more of a. So it'll be that aspect. But in the Braj Leela, we generally only hear about the left. The right's there, but we hear about the left. Well, then in Dwarka, then the prominence is the right. We hear about the left. He is dependent upon his pastimes, which increase prema in Braja. Thus he prevented Krishna from leaving. But Balaram, whose very life was Krishna, could also not give him up and go alone to Braja. This verse therefore mentions that he had such eagerness, utkanta, that is discrimination and sense control disappeared. Right? So Balaram can't go without Krishna, but because of the eagerness, then he, you know, his discrimination and sense control disappeared, he went. But by keeping Krishna in Dwarka, you'll get Balaram back also. Like that. Well, if Krishna had gone to Braj, then you would have lost Balaram, and you know it would have been a whole scene. Then Dwarka would have become a suburb of Vrindavan, right? They all would have moved out there, right? Srila Sanatana Goswami adds, having stated that Krishna was affectionate to the miserable, related to this, Balaram's affection is now described till the end of the chapter. He desired to see Ananda, Jashoda, and others, Suhrit, because he was anxious to see them after long separation. To go quickly, he mounted his accustomed chariot and went, Prayayau, wearing cowherd dress, to the cowherd village of Nanda. So he dressed up as a cowherd, then went. You know. Otherwise, if you show up there as the king, it's not going to go down so well, right? So. Harivamsa describes this. Balaram quickly entered Vraja, ornamented with attractive rustic clothing. Right, so, you know, how we dress today, that's rustic. So you can imagine what is the city stuff. He did this because he was most merciful, Bhagavan, or knew the desires of Krishna. Remembering the deep friendship he once enjoyed with the cowherd folk, Balaram went alone to Braja, having taken Krishna's permission. Harivamsa, Vishnu Parva, 46:10. Yeah, so, having stated that Krishna was affectionate to the miserable, now, related to that, that Krishna's favor, you know, is affectionate to the miserable, now we're going to see Balaram's affection to the miserable. Right? But that's based on Krishna's affection to the miserable. Right? Later, it is said that he pacified them with Krishna's messages. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:65-16. He had strong intelligence, Balabhadraha. Thus he could pacify the great devotees. O best of the Kurus, Sukadeva is joyful because of Balaram's departure for this purpose. Or, like you, Balaram was also the best of the Kurus, being the elder brother of Krishna. He should go to make Krishna's promise of returning soon come true. Right, so by him going there, then he has that effect of like Krishna going to Vrindavan. And that then also discussing with them and all these things, make them happy. Yes?
Just trying to figure out the sequence of the things, because sometimes it's not.
No, I think before it mentioned that, I think the story with Nriga and all that, that happened when they were, the sons were small. But actually, the time when we're in these pastimes, they're already big. Anirudh is big, he's married.
Right.
But the pastime happened when they were all these kids were like 8 years old.
Okay.
When they were small. So the Nriga story is out of order. Yeah.
And then the Uddhava goes to Braj, then Balaram goes to Braj, and then Krishna, after killing Dantavakra, then he goes. Is that the sequence we follow?
It appears to be. But at the same time, he's always there, but at the same time, he's not there. So, like we see with when Uddhava went, you saw both.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like that. So, some of the description is where he's there, and some of the description is where he's not there.
Yeah.
But it's not that he saw Krishna there. It means the Brajabasis were acting as, you know, from the pastime of Krishna being there. So in other words, he was able to see the apricot Leela. Right? But not the Leela of Krishna interacting, but them, how they were dealing as Krishna's there in the pastime. At the same time as then, when he would interact with them, then they would he would be dealing with the prakat. So that would be how it goes. He's viewing Vrindavan, what he saw is the apricot, but the interaction was the prakat. So that's the point. Since they're non-different, they can, as Krishna pleases. So we can only so much, you know, put things in order and do, you know, as Krishna pleases. Because there's a limit to that. Because even we do that, still doesn't mean we fully understand it. You know, because it's, these things are a matter, we learn the knowledge of it, but the actual point is the taste of it. Bhakti is about tasting that. But we have the knowledge so we can discriminate what to taste. Otherwise, we're quite happy tasting what's going on here. And if Krishna consciousness can help that, hey, all the better. So, to that, therefore, the knowledge is to discriminate so that we don't do that. Does that make sense? So, up to the point of liberation, you know, up to, you could say, bhava, then this discrimination is important. The knowledge is important. But once we come to the platform of bhava, then the knowledge has already done its work by burning up the conditioned nature. So then all that's left is developing taste. Because in bhava there's some taste, but it hasn't come to the platform of prema. So what you're cultivating is the taste, not knowledge. Because the knowledge is already there. You don't need to cultivate that. So, yes.
Knowledge basically a tool which guides your intelligence from material taste to spiritual taste.
Yes, that's there, but it's also how you perform activities and this and that. But the point is if it's about the relationship, it's not about the activity. The activity is just a way to express the relationship. So it takes a subservient role. So for us, it may take a more prominent role. That the only reason that in a particular situation we be Krishna conscious is because of the knowledge, not because we're, you know, remembering Krishna and rolling on the ground in ecstasy. Does that make sense? But it comes to a point where it's not the knowledge that's inspiring. It's that that is Krishna himself and his devotees.
Would there be difference between Vaidhi and Raghunatha?
Meaning
that you're driven by taste, you know, you're driven by...
But how much taste is there in Rav? There's only taste. So if you're performing sadhana bhakti, and you're raganuga bhakta, there's only taste. And you're going to compare that to the taste that's there in bhava. So therefore, that's what we're talking about. You know, let's say I give you a 1 millimeter by 1 millimeter piece of paneer from the paneer butter masala, right? So it'll have taste, but don't try to make it the same as having a whole bucket full. They say it's like, it's like defining happiness as being the unrivaled, an emperor of the world with an unrivaled kingdom. So, you know, how you say the possessor of half a bucket of paneer butter and masala that's unrivaled. There's no other brahmachari. Right, you know, so, yeah, so, you know, they don't even know you have it. So, you know, now we're talking again. Yeah, so, in other words, the platform of bhava, you can take that as one unit of taste, right? And prema as 100 units of taste, right? So now, below that, then you're going to have ruchi and asakti will be a fraction of one unit, right? And then below that, then it will be, you know, it won't have the same form. It still will be any taste you're getting in Krishna consciousness is coming from the potency of bhava, but it's not manifesting as bhava because it's small. But compared to nothing, small is good. Right? Does that make sense? So material world has zero to offer. So even if you have a fraction of something real, it's real. Does that make sense? And so that's the point. Bhakti cultivates bhakti. So the more we understand what's bhakti and what's not bhakti, the more we cultivate bhakti, so the quicker that we get, the quicker we develop this natural position of the living entity. Does that make sense? Otherwise, we're always trying to establish that, no, my performance of karma is also actually all right. In fact, it's devotional service. In fact, for my position, it's actually better. In fact, for everybody, it's better because it's actually more realistic and more honest. In fact, we should get rid of all this other fanatic stuff and just do this because I'm doing it. You know, so to avoid that, that's why the scriptures talk so strongly about it. But it's understood that you're engaging the activities of karma. You're engaging the knowledge. But if it's in pursuance of bhakti, then it's glorious. So that, to that degree it's in pursuance of, that makes it more glorious. Right? So we can look at that positive, but if someone's proud, then we tend to look at the glass as empty, half empty. Well, I got so what? Yeah, but you only got half a glass. You know, but if someone has a nice mood, you know, wow, I got some water. Yeah, yes, you know, it's very good. You know, sense? So you encourage where the attitude's proper. And then you're a little bit, you know, you're, in other words, the friendship or the compassion is there when the attitude's proper. Indifference is used when the attitude's not proper. So those are all natural qualities of the soul. Right? Does that make sense? Okay, Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued. Having long suffered the anxiety of separation, the cowherd men and their wives embraced Lord Balaram. The Lord then offered respects to his parents and then joyfully greeted him, and they joyfully greeted him with prayers. The BBT purport mentions. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti gives the following verse regarding this situation. Nityananda Surupopi Prema Tapto Vrajao Kasham Yayao Krishnam Api Tyaktva Yastam Raman Muhu Stumaha. Let us repeatedly glorify Lord Balaram, although he is the original personality of eternal bliss. Nityananda, he felt pained by his love for the residents of Braja, and thus he went to see them, even at the cost of leaving Lord Krishna. So, you know, just that's there because of his that compassion and all that and that affection. Therefore, he went, even though he can't be separated from Krishna. Right? They're always together. Because right? Wherever you have Krishna, Balaram's always present. You know, he's as an Ananta Sesh, as Balaram, as Lakshman, he's always there. Okay, that was Srimad Bhagavatam 10:17-12. Nanda and Yashoda prayed. O descendant of Dasara, O Lord of the universe, may you and your younger brother Krishna ever protect us. Saying this, they raised Sri Balaram onto their laps, embraced him, and moistened him with the tears from their eyes. Right? So you see the difference here is that if that understanding was there with Vasudeva and Devaki, then they would have just stood there respectfully offering obeisances and prayers. But with them, it's just they know who he is because that's been explained. You know, as the pastimes unfolded, it became more obvious. And then we see with time that people explain that, like Uddhava and others explain it. So they know that, but it doesn't in any way get in the way of their relationship with Krishna, with Balaram. He may be the Lord of the universe and all that, protective, but that doesn't mean they don't pick him up, put him on the laps and hug him. Right? It's just the way it works. So that's Braj. That's why he has to go. Because their relationship doesn't get changed by situations.
Side joke for them.
Yeah. It's just what he does in his spare time. Yes.
So can we say that the sky above actually controls the relationship of the person? Because they follow their own bhava, they can't change it in the same way. The Bhakti ambassador, they can't change.
No.
Although they, on the level of knowledge, they understand higher and lower.
Yes, yes.
Within prem.
Yes.
But then that's.
It's their nature. So there's, the point is they're satisfied. It's not that they don't know. It's just like, let's say you're doing a business and you get something from it and you're satisfied. It's not that you don't know that Bill Gates gets a bit more. but you're cool. You're good. And so that's just the way it is you're in your position. And so you're fully satisfied because that is your nature. So there's no distraction or disturbance, but it's not that they don't appreciate it. But we see the Brajbasis will consider the others more fortunate, even though they're the most fortunate. You know? But we also can see is, how would this work? Why would that be like that? Because Braj, who's it about? It's about Krishna. So Krishna is the Lord of the Icha Shakti, right? So it's about him. Jnana and Kriya Shaktis, they serve Krishna. So the Lord of this, you know, Lord Balaram and Vasudev, or Nityananda and Advaita Acharya, they identify themselves as servitor Godhead. So they're Godhead, but their service is taking care of these things in the Jnana and Kriya Shaktis that are supportive of the pastimes. Right? So since Mathura, Dwarka, they're expanding from Mahanarayan. And then as Vasudev and Sankarshan expanding from him, they're the ones performing the pastimes there. So then the flavor is going to have more of a flavor of... You're pleasing the Lord there, so it's always about his desire. But it'll have the environment more and the flavor more of the Kriya Jnana. Does that make sense? Well, Braj, it'll be about Icha. That's why Radharani is there. She doesn't leave. Right. Does that make sense? But you see Krishna and Balaram, they leave because they have these other aspects. That Radharani, yeah, she's left as Rukmini, you know, Satyabhama, it's all these. Then like that, she's done. Does that make sense? So it's a different. So Krishna keeps the same, you could say, personality through the whole of Goloka, but Radharani just stays in Vrindavan. Is that for instance? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
About that nigger last time, and the Lord telling that don't steal from the Brahman, you will get this effect.
Right.
Bhakti Siddhanta's left hand man, he took a lot of money from Bhakti Siddhanta's, you know, this thing. And towards the end of his stay in Gaudiya Math, he lost so much faith in the Acharya that he started performing rituals of the Smarthas and not Satkriya Sardhya. And Prabhupada is one of the very close, servants of ISKCON, biggest servant of ISKCON. He stole money from Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was very angry about that. He stole money. And from that point onwards, he has not been in ISKCON at any time. And one ashram I know, contemporary example, is that they were doing all of this, stealing like shoes and, you know, from the devotees and doing that. In that ashram, every single devotee has stopped chanting. The ashram leader has become a Hindu again, chanting Ganpati and all this. Okay. And the other ashram leader has again stopped chanting. So it's not like a joke that the Lord it doesn't apply to us. We are devotees.
No, it applies because the point is the Yadavas are devotees. So therefore, that's what one should be careful about these things. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book, they addressed him as Jagadishvara, or Lord of the Universe who maintains everyone. The reason for this was that Krishna and Balaram maintain all living entities, and yet Nanda and Yashoda are put into such difficulties on account of their absence. Right, even though they're the ones maintaining the universe, even though they're supreme lords, but because of their affection, then they're in great difficulty when they're not there. Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Protect us for a long time indicates that they blessed Balaram with long life and strength, right? Because if he's protecting, then if you protect for a long time, means you live for a long time to protect. Like that. Calling him Lord of the Universe is also a blessing. Though they were also Dasharas, they describe him as such to indicate him as the son of Vasudev, since he was the chief of the Yadus, distinguishing him from the Kauravas and Pandavas. Because technically they were Dasharas, so Nanda Baba, and they also are. they're in the same line, you know, like that. They just happen to take up the duties of the cowherds. But by addressing him that way, then they show his exalted position and distinguish him from the other groups of the Kshatriyas in that Dwarka environment. Though Nanda had more affection for Krishna as his own son, he protected Balaram as his own son also, since he regarded his brother's son as his own. This shows Nanda's intense affection for Vasudev, thinking of Vasudev as himself. So even though he Vasudev's son, he then sees him as still as his son. Right? Because they see their brothers, so naturally then. Thus he regarded Balaram as his own son by saying, with your younger brother, Sanujaha. He indicated again that he regarded Balaram as his son, right? Because otherwise he would have said, you know, my son, you know, like that. But he indicated your younger brother, you know, son like that. He took Balaram as the main son and Krishna as secondary by saying, along with your younger brother, because the younger brother is always considered as the, you know, socially as the prominent one. In saying, please protect us, he indicates without distinction all of us Yadavas. Right? So they're also, so that means in Dwarka and in Vrindavan. Or in embracing him out of longing, at this moment he thought it inappropriate to disregard the others in Dwarka and to think only of the people of Braja. Protect the Yadavas and protect us. So since Balaram was there and he's getting the benefit by the association, he's enjoying that association. He didn't want the Yadavas to miss out also, so therefore he asked that they also be taken care of and be protected. Right, so he's already thinking of them. Yes, they're sensitive to both sides. Very enthusiastic. That Nandabai was affectionate to all sides of the family, rather than just his group. Srila Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Balaram then paid proper respects to the elder cowherd men, and the younger ones all greeted him respectfully. He met them all with smiles, handshakes, and so on, dealing personally with each one according to age, degree of friendship, and family relationship. Then, after resting, the Lord accepted a comfortable seat, and they all gathered around him. Right? So, in other words, they're just greeting now that he came. It's not going to go beyond that. Having greeted, then he rests and all that. Having rested, then he'll come out. Then they'll sit. Now they'll start, you know, talking.
So, this is a custom when a guest comes like that to spend time.
Well, it also depends on where they come from and this and that. So coming from a long distance, then they will greet and everything there. Then they'll let, you know, see set up and that like that. Then they'll come later for actual interaction. You know, the first was just the greeting.
Yes.
Like that. But otherwise, if you try to get everything at that time, since I'm here now, let me ask all my questions and that's not actually proper. Because then they're tired, they can't give proper attention, and all these different things. Because especially in the greeting, everybody's there and all that, so you can't do your business at that time. People try to do it, but it's not appreciated. Okay. Yeah. Okay. With voices faltering out of love for him, those cowherds who had dedicated everything to lotus-eyed Krishna ask about the health of their dear ones in Dwarka. And Balaram, in turn, asked about the cowherd's welfare. So before it was just that we see the greeting, now they get into properly, how's this one, how's that one, because you can't just meet these, how's this one, yeah, great, how's that, you know, because there'll be something behind it, some story, some, you know, like that. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book. After being received by the cowherd men and boys, the gopis and King Nanda and Yashoda, Lord Balaram sat down, feeling satisfied, and they all surrounded him. First, Lord Balaram inquired from them about their welfare, and then, since they had not seen him for such a long time, they began to ask him different questions. the inhabitants of Vrindavan had sacrificed everything for Krishna, simply being captivated by the lotus eyes of the Lord, because of their great desire to love Krishna. And they never desired anything like elevation to the heavenly planets or merging into the effulgence of Brahman to become one with the absolute truth. They were not even interested in enjoying a life of opulence, but were satisfied in living a simple life in the village as cowherds. They were always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna and did not desire any personal benefits. And they were all so much in love with him that in his absence their voices faltered when they began to inquire from Balaramji. So they're just so absorbed in Krishna. And because Balaram's Krishna's brother, so therefore in this way he's very dear to all of them. And so now then they're inquiring and asking about this. But they don't want anything on the material platform. That's the whole point. So we saw from last chapter, that is being explained that you can have all the material facility you want, you still can't enjoy. So now we see the Brajbasis here, say that they're not interested. It's not that, you know, they're trying to control themselves, but they're just not interested. Because if you already have absorption in Krishna, what more is there than that? What else is there? There isn't anything. Srila Sanatana Goswami explains. He met with the cowherds, according to age, with smiles, etc. They questioned him after he was relieved of fatigue from his journey and was sitting comfortably, or after the smiles had finished. Right? In other words, the greetings or this and that then will be there, and when that's over, then it'll move into the next phase. So in this case, then he took some rest in that. Or then coming together again, and there'll be some smiles and some this and that. Then when that's done, then they'll go into more, you know, deeper questions like that. So in other words, the mood is important. It's not about, you know, it's about just getting things done. That the efficiency is important only because it shows that one's paying attention. One's using one's full faculties of intelligence, you know, body, mind, and words in Krishna's service. That's why efficiency is important, only because of that. But otherwise, efficiency on its own isn't the standard. It's devotion, it's relationship. These are the standard. And then within that, then you apply the efficiency. You can't use efficiency against personal relationships. Yes?
What would be the deeper questions in this case?
About other family members or what they're doing in their lives, you know, because somebody you just saw for after a long time, and then you just, oh, hi, how are you? Yeah, great, you know, like this and that. But then you get more into, so how's the family, what's going on? You know, hey, you know, I heard you were doing this. How's that working out? That's where it is. Or he was not tired from the long journey and thus sat comfortably. So it's either he came from the journey and because they all greeted him, so he just sat down and then they all started talking. So in any case, however it works out, it doesn't matter. Because does that make sense? It can be all of these. It's not that it has to be, well, is it this one or that? No, it can be all of these. That's the point, because these pastimes are eternal and have so much variety, so it can happen in all these ways. So, yeah. They also exchanged affectionate words, Adi Bihi. They came close to him according to the relationship. Nanda Shoshoda called brothers and other relatives, Harivamsa says. He spoke to them with affection. Affection. I guess as he had done previously. Correctly according to rules and age. Right? So it's still you're following the rules and all that. Because otherwise, how does the relationship work if you don't follow that properly? Then he spoke to them, giving them all joy. Then he met with the gopis and spoke sweet topics. So with others, he's speaking what's appropriate for them and their questions and their relationship. But with the gopis, then he'll speak sweet topics. They ask him with choked voices about Krishna, who attracted their hearts. Because he was the most beautiful, Kamala Patraksha, who could relieve distress just by his glance, and were asked by Balaram about their well-being. They wanted to see him, they had given up everything for him, right, for Krishna. Previously to Uddhava's coming, the people had not given up everything, hoping he would return. After Uddhava came, losing hope that Krishna would come, or agitated by his long absence, they lost interest in maintaining their bodies. Or, with the words choked because of his prema for them, they ask him about Krishna in the following verse. Right? Because we see is that when it was discussed about Uddhava's visit, then you had, you know, everyone dressed nicely and everything in a festive environment and the cows, you know, running and all these different things like that. But then it also then sometimes showed the Prakat Leela, that the kitchen, you know, which is the main thing in Mother Jashoda's house with 100 stoves, nothing had been cooked in there. They weren't eating. Right? So you know, grass is growing, cobwebs are there, you know, it's just as if it's an abandoned place. So that's, I mean, here now they've given up. So before they gave up to be with, but then there's that element, but they're still interacting and doing all these duties because it maintains the position for the pastime. Right? The gopis are dealing with the family members, they all leave them alone, and so then they can sneak off with Krishna. But if Krishna's not coming back, so the only reason they're with family is so they can be with Krishna, so why should they even bother with that? So then nobody's really bothering with anything. They're just sitting around and doing nothing. You know, remembering Krishna, but they're not performing duties and not. Verses 7 to 16. The Vrajavasis inquire about Krishna. The cowherd said, "O Rama, are all our relatives doing well? And Rama, do all of you with your wives and children still remember us?" Srila Jiva Goswami comments. Clarifying the questions of the cowherds, the very elderly ones ask this question. Are the Yadavas well, and sometimes do you, along with your wives and children, remember us? Yuyam, you too, indicates Balaram and Krishna, because you notice a lot of the things that they said were in plural. So the prayers are different things, it was in plural, because he's meaning both of them. They're talking to Balaram, but they're talking about both. It is understood that after the two brothers had children, Krishna did not come there. However, by the mention of Kamsa being killed, it should be understood that when Balaram came, it was not many years after that incident. Thus, the eldest children only had been born, Vishnu Purana says. So even this appears that it's not in a particular order. Because this is, they've just been born. While that Nriga story, they're a little bit older. But then the one before with Rukmi, killing of Rukmi, then they were already grown and they were, you know, getting married. The Vishnu Purana says, after marriage, the two came to Mathura to kill Kalayavana. After that, Krishna went to Dwarka and to Gokul. However, in Harivamsa, it is said that when Shringala Vasudeva was killed in a battle at Gomanta near Karavira, much later, the two came to Mathura and went to Gokul. This is understood to be from a different kalpa. He came and met the people of Braja not long after leaving Braja. Right, so these different things that he went back, and that these don't necessarily this particular manifestation of the pastime, but it is something that does happen in one of the kalpas. So which one's there? Because in this one, the focus is on the separation, because Lord Chaitanya comes to taste that separation. So it's natural it's going to be, and we see even Ramachandra, he's coming, and for much of his pastimes, it's about the separation. Right. So that seems to be the flavor of this cycle of this. Like that. And so the other ones, then they may not have that. But it's not that he doesn't go and this and that. These pastimes are always going on. So it's just a matter of, depending upon what's the discussion, then they'll use an example, they'll use a story from a prakat, from an aprakat, from this time, from another time. It's just whatever matters, because it's all eternal. It's just that we've seen this happen here, so you mention this one. We've seen that happen there, so you mention that one. But it's not that in one place all these don't go on. But it's just you refer to it because you mentioned the Shastra. So, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Govardhana ki.